Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is, gosh, 9 days away from the first round of the 2017 NFL Draft. You can really start to build, or at least start to feel, the excitement building, especially where Fran resides in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love that is hosting the draft. He, of course, is Fran Duffy, the star of this show here on the College Draft Podcast, the Philadelphia Eagles scouting guru. I am merely Ross Tucker, long time NFL offensive lineman. Had a lot of fun playing for a bunch of different teams, bounced around the league a little bit. Highly encourage you, if you guys like this podcast, to go check out 2017draftdigest.com. It's a little magazine that I put together with the help of some absolute studs. Totally encourage you to check that out, especially if you like this podcast, 2017draftdigest.com. Use the code Ross so they know that I sent you. Fran, there's a lot to get into. Before we even get into that, I'll end up asking you this again next week, but talk to me just a little bit about the city of Philadelphia and sort of the excitement and anticipation leading up to this thing.
Dude, Philly's awesome, and I've lived here my whole life. I grew up here. I grew up a huge fan of not just the NFL, but obviously the Eagles and all four professional sports teams. And the area, I mean, if you've never been here and you're coming here for the first time, the food is awesome. The people get a bad rap, but Philly, man, I love everybody that lives in this city. It's a very passionate town, passionate about everything that we do, everything that we follow. The excitement building around the draft is great. Everyone is really amped up. I think the atmosphere down the Art Museum and down the Parkway is going to be awesome for anybody that's deciding to go to the draft. So if you are going and you've never been, hit me up on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'll tell you some of the good spots to get something to eat. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see what the atmosphere is like next week.
Yeah, I actually was talking with my wife's cousin, first cousin, and you know, he lives central Pennsylvania, really rural. He's going down Wednesday, got a hotel room for two nights. I mean, they are doing it up big. I mean, they are fired up to be going to Philly, going to the draft. So there are going to be a lot of people descending on the city of brotherly love, including 22 college prospects that came out. 22 of the guys getting drafted will show up. Speaking of other news that came out, Fran, I hit on this a little bit on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. I should mention Fran's at FDuffy3 and Bry, our trusty producers at RTF Podcast. But I hit it up on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast yesterday. But Mike Florio reported that Christian McCaffrey is declining all private workout requests from NFL teams. It's interesting, Fran, because I asked Albert Breer about this yesterday. He said, well, there's a lot of guys that decline private requests, but a lot of times it's because they're pretty confident they're going in the top 10 and a team that's like drafting 23rd asks to work them out. And they say, well, that's not worth it. I'm not doing that. But McCaffrey's not doing any of them. And there's always the thought process. I guess there's two schools of thought. One is, you know, doesn't he want to compete? Does he not, you know, want to show us what he can do? You know, does he think he's too good for us? Versus, you know, here's a kid that's really taking every aspect of this process very seriously and is treating his body and his career as a business, as he should. I go with the latter, Fran. If I'm a team, I'm thinking, wow, this guy really looks at things the right way and really wants to make sure that he has a great career and maximizes, you know, what he can get out of his body and gets the best return on that investment. That's what I want for my team. I want a guy that's trying to, you know, maximize the return on their investment.
You know, the way I look at it is, Christian McCaffrey did the combine and was outstanding at the combine. He went to his pro day. He did a workout at his pro day. If he doesn't want to do workouts, he's still visiting with teams and is still going to meet with people and do his private visits. He's just not going to work out. And to me, it's not the worst thing in the world. I would agree. I think that he's being smart, especially at his position. You see some things like what happened with Sidney Jones, and it's an extremely unfortunate situation. I don't blame him at all for making that decision. Now, if Ross, does the name Charles Walker ring a bell?
Yeah, defensive lineman, Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's the defensive lineman from Oklahoma that everybody crushed last fall because he left after, what was it, like the fourth or fifth game of the year to go and prepare for the combine. Had an awful combine, hasn't really been on the radar in terms of the first 2 days of the draft. I think most people view him as a day three pick. This is a guy that didn't put a lot on film, that didn't go through the whole part of the process in terms of finishing his last season in college football. That was his junior year, and he left, we'll say, eight games early. Whereas Christian McCaffrey, remember all the everything that was publicized about he's skipping his bowl game, and you know what about the commitment to the team, and the same thing was said about Leonard Fournette. I mean, those guys finished their careers in terms of the regular season. They did everything that they were supposed to do, and it's the same thing with McCaffrey with this. McCaffrey went through the combine. He went through his pro day. He's just not doing the private workouts. If he's still meeting with people from across the league, to me, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No, and I look at it everything he does should be through the prism of a business decision. And I think that he rightfully looks at it and says, you know, what I'm going to gain in a private workout with one team is really minimal. I mean, there's a great chance that team doesn't even take me, especially when he's already done the combine, already did the pro day, already has substantial college tape. But he could get injured, like, you know, Sidney Jones, Fabian Moreau, some of these other guys have. You know what I don't understand, Fran, is I guess Tony Pauline had the report out there that, you know, Christian McCaffrey had gotten a draft guarantee. First of all, what exactly was the report? In the teens? The team in the teams guaranteed it or something?
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the exact – I don't want to put words in Tony's mouth, but that was the general feel of it was that he had got the reason why he's not working out is that there was a team in the middle of the first round that had basically said, look, you know, we're going to draft you in the middle of the draft. And let me pull this up here. Tony cited Mike Florio's report. Christian McCaffrey had declined all requests for private workouts. The story circulates. This is right from Tony's piece on draftanalyst.com. The story circulating from insiders is that McCaffrey has received a draft guarantee from a team presently selecting in the teens. The team guaranteed McCaffrey. They will select him if he is available when they are called to the podium. So I don't know if I've ever heard of this. I mean, it's a very interesting development. Who knows if you know how true it is? Obviously, Tony feels really good about it, and Tony's always pretty right on about things when it comes to the NFL draft. That's why we use him as much as we do. So, I mean, it's very, very interesting. I don't know that we've ever seen that, especially from a team in the teens. I mean, maybe from, you know, a top two, top three, top four pick. But that's certainly interesting. I don't know if you've heard anything like that.
Well, I've heard it more when it's an underclassman deciding whether or not to turn pro. You know what I mean? Where it's like you hear it in the NBA. You certainly hear it in the NFL every once in a while where it's like, yeah, he was pretty much guaranteed by a team that they would take him in the first round or whatever. I just don't see the value. If let's just say it's the Eagles at 14 or the Colts at 15 or whomever, those are the teams that it seems like you see McCaffrey going to the most in the mock drafts. How is there any value in that? I mean, you know, if you tell him that, then maybe he wants to go higher and he kind of spreads the word about that. Other teams that really want him know they get a leap in front. I don't really understand any value in that being out there at all. But maybe there's something about it that I don't understand. If you think there's value in a team telling him that, then certainly let me know. Cause I don't, friend. I don't really understand that. And I don't really buy the report that he's going to go top 10 either. I have a tough time seeing that unless a team trades up or maybe the Carolina Panthers at 8. There's also a report from Tom Pelissero of USA Today that Bill O'Brien is apparently in love with Pat Mahomes. And it certainly feels like, Fran, that there's a lot of Pat Mahomes momentum right now. I mean, it feels like every team has brought him in for a private workout or to talk to him. Every team, you know, they loved him on Gruden. It seems like a lot of these people in this process are getting smitten with Mahomes.
Yeah, I think the big thing, and this is why these visits and everything is important, you want to bring Pat Mahomes in to get a feel for him personally and get an understanding of whether or not you feel he is going to be able to pick up your scheme, because he's got a huge learning curve coming from the offense he came from, projecting to the NFL. And so when you've got that side of it, then you've got the way that he plays. His style of play is very frenetic. It's very much outside of structure. So you have to be able to think, okay, are we going to be able to rein him in? And if we do rein him in, are we negating what is really kind of the strength of his game at the college level? Will he be able to play within the structure of our offense? Is he going to be able to do the things that we want him to do? We know he can do it physically, but can and will he do it from the mental side? And that's really what teams are trying to figure out when they bring him in. There's no questions about Patrick Mahomes' arm strength. There's no questions about his ability to be accurate with the football. There's no questions about his mobility. I mean, he's got the ability to make plays, and he's going to. I mean, when he gets onto the field for preseason this summer, he's going to be making some plays. I mean, I would be very surprised if he didn't. I just wonder whether or not he's going to be able to do it long term, if he's going to be able to sustain success and be able to consistently lead his team to victory. I think that's going to be the big thing that teams are trying to figure out, is can he be our face of our franchise? And just this quarterback position in general, I mean, we're seeing all this buzz now about all these top names. Where is that run going to start? You know how it is, Ross. You've seen enough of these drafts now where it's all about runs, especially at these positions where there's a lot of depth, but where there's players bunched closely together. You know, is that first quarterback going to go off the board in the top five? And when does that second one go? If the second one goes in the top 13, we could see four quarterbacks go in the first round, and then everyone will say, oh, that was a good quarterback draft. Or maybe the first one, it's like it was a few years ago in that Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Derek Carr, Blake Bortles group, where Blake Bortles went in the top five, and then we saw Manziel go like middle of the first, and then it was the run didn't really happen until, you know, Teddy went at like 30, 31, Teddy Bridgewater. Then you saw Derek Carr go early, mid-second round, and now we'll see how it goes. I think if you look at quarterback, you look at running back, pass rusher, corner, safety. I mean, there's a number of positions where we're going to see where these runs happen. It's going to dictate how the draft kind of plays out.
Yeah, there's also a report out there. Eric Galco from the Sporting News firmly expects DeShone Kizer to slip on draft day.
Yeah, it's something we talked about that when we did our quarterback preview. We talked about him and Mahomes and my reservations with both players. Both of them have the highest physical upside of the players at their position in the draft. I mean, if you want to draw up what you want a quarterback to look like physically, you're looking at DeShone Kizer, you're looking at Patrick Mahomes. The question is kind of the same with both, is do they have what it takes to be able to play consistently? Do they have the ability to play within the structure of your offense? Are they fully committed to football? I mean, those are the questions that you hear about when you hear about the insiders and all the reports about who talks with coaches and scouts. Those are the questions. And Eric has been fully on top of DeShone Kizer and his potential fall since early in this offseason. We've had Eric on before from Sporting News and Optimum Scouting, and he's been all over DeShone Kizer and where he's going to go. I'm excited for next week to get here with all this talk and all of this leading up. I'm very excited for next week to get here.
I'm very excited for some Daddy Sodas this morning.
Daddy Sodas.
Big time position to break down. As Matt Williamson discussed on yesterday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, there's a lot of teams that could use corners. It's supposed to be a good corner draft. Who's your favorite, Fran, to watch on film?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. My favorite is not the favorite of others. And I know everyone has had Marshawn Lattimore at the top of their list for a long time. And I understand why, because his physical traits are outstanding. You know, you look at a guy who's 6 foot, 195 pounds. He's got NFL size. He's got great speed. He's got great athleticism. He's what you want a press man corner to look like. He's got the ability to disrupt. He can flip his hips and turn. He can get downfield and make plays on the ball, in the air, down the field. I mean, he's got the ability to be a shutdown corner. My reservations are twofold. One, I don't think he's a great run defender. I don't see the competitive toughness on the outside that I'd like to see from a guy who's going to be a shutdown corner on the outside. Because that guy, you're in a battle. You're lined up against Dez Bryant. You're lined up against AJ Green, not just in the run game, but it's a battle in every pass play as well. And you want those guys to have an edge to them. And then secondly, just the hamstring injuries. And that's been an issue with him for the duration of his career at Ohio State. He played every game this year. He was a 13-game starter as a redshirt sophomore. Couldn't finish the combine workout. Had both seasons cut short in 2015 and then had a medical redshirt in 2014 because of the hamstring. That's a little bit of a concern as well. And so as good as his tape is, there are some reservations for me. And that's why I go to a guy like Tre'Davious White, who I think brings everything to the table. I think when you look at Tre'Davious White, he's got and Ross, we can go back to episode one, and I don't know how successful people would be at doing this. If you got to go to Ross, you know, if you got to go to the page, to the homepage, or if you got to go to iTunes, go back and listen to the very first episode of this podcast. And one of the first players I loved up in the summer of 2015 was LSU's Tre'Davious White. And because he's nothing about him is super special that's in terms of flashy that everyone's going to pick up on. He's not the most explosive athlete. You know, he's not the biggest kid. He's 5'11", 192 pounds, but he is instinctive. He's got outstanding ball skills. He's really competitive. He's versatile. He can play in any scheme. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's dabbled at safety. He can play man coverage. He can play zone at a very high level. He's made some great plays in zone coverage throughout his career. He's a very good tackler. I think he's a little bit underrated as a tackler. A lot of people undersell him there. He's a great blitzer from the slot. I mean, everything you want from an NFL defensive back in today's game, he's got. He doesn't have the upside of a Lattimore, but I like his film a lot more. I'm a huge, huge fan of Tre'Davious White from LSU.
I like it. What about a guy that's underrated by the media?
You know, it's funny. I put this out on Twitter. I think it was last week. Throughout the draft process, I think that we kind of overrated. And when I say the draft process, I go back to the fall, last summer and last fall. I think we overrated Desmond King. You know, a lot of people had Desmond King in the top 10, top 15 of the draft. And, you know, at his size, it's not like he got shorter since October. I mean, he's always been 5'10". He's always been, you know, he's actually pretty big at 200 pounds, but he's always been a 4'5 guy. I never watched him and thought, man, he's going to run 4.35 at the combine. He's always been a step slow. But now that people have seen it in person, everyone went to the Senior Bowl. He got beat a couple times in one-on-ones, which is not his forte. You're not leaving him on an island at the NFL level. But when you watch him, I go to the same traits I talked about with Tre'Davious White. I see Desmond King. I see a player who is super competitive. I see a player who's got great instincts. He's got great versatility, and he's got outstanding ball skills. And to me, if a defensive back in today's game has ball skills, toughness, and instincts, he could play for me any day. As long as he's not like a 4.7 guy in the 40, I think he could play for me any day. And Desmond King is that guy. I do think that, you know, in the right situation, he can play outside. I do think that he would be an outstanding nickel corner, and in today's game, that has great value. I don't think he needs to move to safety. If you wanted to move him to safety, you could. I don't think you need to. I just think Desmond King is a great football player. I'm not going to put him in the first round. I think that he would be an outstanding day two pick and a guy that can come in and make a great impact on the secondary. I think that Desmond King is really, really underrated right now at this point in the process.
Definitely the most people you've ever had in the list for guys that you like, but they scare you.
Well, that's what I said last week, right? I said last week was that this episode was going to be the one where you're telling me to shut the hell up because I'm just rolling off a list of names. But when you there's a lot of players that you could point. I mean, you could say Lattimore, and I gave you some of those reasons why. Sidney Jones, I mean, we know all the physical traits, but now coming off the Achilles, like where is he going to go? And that's why people are going to be a little bit scared. What's he going to look like coming off the Achilles? Because he already wasn't the greatest athlete in the world. Now you're going to throw the Achilles in, and now it's going to be more of a question mark. I think that you look at a guy like Marlon Humphrey, who's got all the physical traits you want in terms of size, speed. He's probably the most physical corner I've ever watched in the run game, Ross. I mean, his ability to come downhill, attack blocks from receivers, from tight ends, whoever, and then make a play on the ball carrier is outstanding. The question with him is his ability to find the ball downfield. And one of the things that I do in my study of defensive backs is I'll watch all of the big plays allowed by a team's secondary. So I'll watch all the big plays allowed by Alabama's secondary. Big plays, passes of 20-plus yards and all the touchdowns they allowed. And Marlon Humphrey was on the wrong end of a little bit too many of those. And one of the big reasons why was because of his inability to get his head turned to find the football. And that was a recurring theme, you know, on a few occasions for Humphrey. And so now – some people may say, oh, you know what, we could, that's a technique thing. We could kind of work through him with that. He's got all the physical traits. We know we feel like he can be a starter. If he can learn to play with a little bit more technique down deep downfield, now we've got a guy who goes from a solid starter to a star. But I think that's the big issue that people are a little bit hung up with on Humphrey. He's got the 4.3 speed. I mean, he's 6 foot and change. He's got extremely long arms. I mean, he's got all the physical traits. But you worry about the ball skills. And then conversely, you look at the two Florida kids. You look at Tease Tabor and Quincy Wilson, who both show good ball skills, who both show good instincts. I think both guys, Quincy Wilson's a really good run defender. Tease Tabor plays with an edge, but he's not a great tackler at this point. The question with both is their top-end speed. No one really talks about it as much with Wilson. I thought that Tease Tabor actually played a little bit faster than Quincy Wilson on tape. Wilson ran 4.54 at the combine, so he didn't really feel the need to rerun it at his pro day. Tabor ran 4.54, 4.63, depending on who you talk to, at the combine, and then went to his pro day and ran 4.75. So he tried to beat that time and didn't run all that well on his home turf. So people are a little bit worried, but when you look at both players, I mean, they've got some really admirable qualities that you want in today's NFL. I think now you're just worried about the top end speed and will they be able to hang with receivers downfield in the NFL.
All right. What about, I like this category, safest player. And I like it because the first name is a name I'm hearing a lot of these days.
Yeah, that's Garyon Conley. I think with Garyon Conley, you have a player that, you know, a lot of people early on in the process kind of underrated, because when you first look at him on the hoof, he's not a player that really stands out to you from a physical standpoint. I mean, his physical tools look solid. He's a 4.44 guy. You know, he's not going to wow you with his long speed. He's not going to wow you with his leaping ability. He's not going to wow you with his tackling. But then you watch more and you watch more and you see those instinctive plays over and over and over again. I remember a play against Tulsa. He had an interception late in the game. It was on a post wheel concept against a stacked receiver set. He passed off the post route, felt the wheel route coming in behind him. It was a really instinctive play. Went up, found the football, got the interception downfield, climbed the ladder to make a play on the ball. It was an outstanding play. And you see plays like that. He had a great game against Michigan where in zone coverage he made a number of great plays down the field. I think when you look at Garyon Conley, you see a player with position versatility. He can play inside and outside. He's really instinctive, and you go back to those ball skills. And that goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. You have instincts, ball skills, and toughness. That's everything you want for an NFL defensive back. And I think Conley brings that. He's probably a lot, I would say, he's safer than Marshon Lattimore. And some will say that he's a better overall prospect than Marshon Lattimore. If you've got those same concerns about his hamstrings and about his ability to defend the run, Conley is a really, really strong player. He's got outstanding length as well. So I think that's why a lot of people in the media on the outside, myself included, were a little bit lower on him before the combine. And you could say the same thing about Chidobe Awuzie from Colorado. I mean, just under 6 foot, 200 pounds. He's got 4.4 speed as well. Doesn't always play to that 4.4 speed, but you're talking about a player who's played every single position in the secondary. He's played inside, outside, and at safety. He's played even a little bit of a linebacker at times in sub package, but really, really instinctive. He's breaking on throws before the ball is thrown on a consistent basis throughout his career. And then also one of the toughest defensive backs in this class. He's a great run defender. He had 273 tackles over 42 starts in his career as a corner. Great special teams player. Marlon Humphrey, you do worry a little bit about his ball skills downfield, but I think when you look at Awuzie, you see a player that you feel like has a really high floor in an NFL secondary. He's going to be a good player if he's not a great player.
What about a guy or two that you think are scheme specific?
I think if you look at Kevin King, that's, you know, 6'3", 200 pounds, 32-inch long arms. He's tested outstanding at the combine. That's like exactly how you draw up these Seattle corner, you know, the Seattle prototype. If you're Atlanta, if you're Gus Bradley out in San Diego with the Chargers now in LA, I mean, Kevin King has all of those traits you want. He's got the length. He's got the ability to come up and defend the run. He's got great ball skills. He knows how to play zone coverage at a very high level. I think that Kevin King is a guy that can come in and play in that scheme really, really well early in his career. And I would say the same thing about Cordre Tankersley from Clemson, a guy that I've been very high on throughout the process. I feel he's a little bit underrated at this point. I see a guy that has all of the athletic traits that you want. He's got the size you want at 6'1", 32 and a quarter inch arms. Also outstanding ball skills. And that's an area where when I look at Tankersley, he has gotten more consistent in every phase of his game from his junior year to his senior year. He's also an accomplished special teams player during his career. I think he's a guy that has great versatility in terms of being able to play in a number of different schemes, but he would be best fit in a scheme like one of those press schemes that wants those corners up at the line of scrimmage, beating up on receivers, trying to disrupt early in the down. I think Tankersley would fit best in a scheme like that.
Give me a day three gem or two.
Ross, you would be hard-pressed for me to find – or you would be hard-pressed to find a bigger fan of Tennessee corner Cam Sutton than me. And if you go back actually to that first episode where I talked about with Tre'Davious White earlier, that very first episode of this podcast, I talked about Cam Sutton as well, and that was coming off his sophomore season with the Volunteers. I've been a big fan of his game for a long time. He's not the biggest. He's 5'11", 188 pounds. He's got really short arms. He's a step slow. He ran 4.53. But honestly, I don't care because he's got outstanding ball skills. His play recognition skills are top-notch. He's also got that versatility. He played inside and outside at the Senior Bowl. Some people do think he can make the transition to safety. To me, I see a guy who's going to be an NFL defensive back. You know, I see a guy who's going to start in the NFL, a player that can hang in man coverage. He's a good zone defender. He's a good run defender. He does everything really, really well. I'm a big fan of Cam Sutton. I think that because he didn't test through the roof and because his measurables aren't ideal from a size standpoint, I do think he's probably going to fall to day three, but I think whoever drafts him on day three is going to get a player. And then I would also throw in Channing Stribling from Michigan, a guy who I think is probably one of the most natural press corners in this draft. He's got really, I mean, the size that you want, it is right there with Channing Stribling. He's 6'1", 188 pounds, a little bit on the lanky side. He's got good ball skills. He's one of the most physical corners in this class. You wonder about his top-end athleticism, and you wonder about his top-end speed. That's the big question. He ran 4.59 at the combine, so he didn't, you know, that's going to be the concern. But I think when you look at Stribling, you see a guy who can come in and play in a press man scheme and probably play it at a very high level. I think that he's a guy that could come in and be one of those day three gems. Any other draft, we're probably talking about Channing Stribling as a third-round pick. He's just getting lost in the shuffle in this group.
3-for-1, Fran. Your category, I still don't really know what it means or what it is.
Yeah, I know. You don't know what it means. All we're going to do is hit on three more names because, I don't know, we've probably hit on like 15 so far today. Adoree Jackson, didn't even get a chance to mention. 5'10", 186 pounds. I wanted to see him take the next step as a cover corner this year, and he did that. He's improved in every phase of his game, but he's not where he needs to be yet in order for me to take him in round one, I think. I think his individual workouts are going to be big for him. I really like his talent. You can root for the kid, and he's got the potential to be a high-end starter. His floor, to me, is as a fourth corner and special team player because he's also an outstanding return specialist. But I think he can be a starter, and especially as a nickel corner. I think Adoree Jackson has a lot of value. Rasul Douglas from West Virginia came out of nowhere. I mean, he wasn't a starter last year, became an All-American this year after 8 interceptions, was one of the leaders in the country. He was a first-team All-Conference player. He goes to the Senior Bowl. He's the practice player of the week in the secondary, 6'2", 209, physical, good run defender. You question his speed, but he shows flashes of really strong ball skills. I think Rasul Douglas is one of the more intriguing corners in this draft. And then last guy, Shaquille Griffin from UCF, who we haven't talked about yet on this show, but went to the combine and blew the doors off. And then I watched him after the combine, and I see you see those traits on film. I mean, he's 6', 194 pounds. He's got a good NFL frame. He's athletic. He's explosive. He's tough. He's a good run defender. Wouldn't surprise me at all if some teams viewed him as a top-end safety down the line. But I think you look at Shaquille Griffin, the only thing that's really keeping him from being in the discussion with some of these other corners is his awareness isn't quite where you want to see him to see things a little bit quicker than he does. I think he's a little more reactive than he is proactive in the back end. And then also his press coverage technique for a guy who's got really long arms, he's got to get a little bit better at the line of scrimmage. So I think you need to work with him on some technique issues. You want him to see things a little bit quicker, but he's got all the physical traits that you want at the position.
I love it. What do we got next week, Fran?
We have our world famous, often imitated, never duplicated, second annual mock draft. So I'm excited for that next week.
Yes, so am I. I love mock drafts. Mock drafts really are fun, especially because if one thing happens, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the way the draft is, everybody starts, oh, this guy's going there, this guy's going there. Well, if there's one thing that, you know, throws people off their rhythm, which always happens, it's like everything changes. Everything can change with just one team taking a guy that you don't expect. Hopefully a lot of you are already following us on Twitter. I mentioned earlier, Fran's at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. If you're a Facebook person, it's facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. You can also always check out Fran on his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast every week, talking about the game of football from the All-22. Pumped for the mock draft, just like I'm pumped for some of you to make sure you have that magazine in front of you over the next 10 days or so while you're watching the draft. It's Draft Digest. Just go to 2017draftdigest.com to get your copy. Make sure you use the code Ross so they know that I sent you. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.